This morning's reading is taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 7. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, to the east of Bethel. And he told them, "Go up and spy out the region." So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, "Not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there." So about 3,000 men went up. But they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down on the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Ah, sovereign Lord, why did you bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run, because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you any more unless you destroy whatever amongst you is devoted to destruction. Go, consecrate the people. Tell them, 'Consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted is among you, O Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. In the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe that the Lord takes will come forward clan by clan. The clan that the Lord takes will come forward family by family. And the family that the Lord takes shall come forward man by man. He who is caught with the devoted things shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done a disgraceful thing in Israel." Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was taken. The clans of Judah came forward, and he took the Zerahites. He had the clan of the Zerahites come forward by families, and Zimri was taken. Joshua had his family come forward man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They're hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys and sheep, his tent and all that he had to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all Israel stoned him, and after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned away from his fierce anger. Therefore that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, we recognize that you are a holy God, and that sin is a great offense to us, whereas we enjoy it. So we need you to come by your Spirit this morning and minister your word to us so that we can learn to love you and to hate sin. So be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The science fiction film Alien 1 told the story of a group of space travelers who came upon a planet that was inhabited by a vicious alien life form. After a terrifying encounter with the alien, it seemed the crew might escape and resume their journey unscathed. On the surface, things seemed normal. But in reality, the alien life form had invaded the body of one of the crew. And as the crew was having a meal together, when it was least expected, the alien life form, which had been incubating inside the infected crew member, ripped open his chest from the inside and burst across the screen. Sounds lovely, doesn't it? Who'd want to spend Saturday night watching that? Perhaps some of you would. Sin is like that. On the outside, we look fine. On the inside, sin has infected us. And what we see in today's passage is that sin affects others, will be revealed, and will be punished. And those headings are on the backs of your notice sheets. The context is that God has rescued his people, the Israelites, from slavery in Egypt, and now Joshua has replaced Moses as their leader, and the people are conquering the promised land. They've wasted 40 years in the wilderness because they lacked the faith to enter the land. Finally, because of God's faithfulness to them, they are entering the land. And God gives them a repeat of the drying up of the Red Sea. God dries up the River Jordan so that the whole nation can pass over. God is assuring the people that he is with them. They can trust him, and they must obey him. And all seems to be going well. God gives the city of Jericho into their hands. But now today, we meet a man called Achan, who disobeyed God. He kept for himself some of the treasure of Jericho. Everything in Jericho was devoted to God. Everything was to be given to God. And Achan kept some for himself. That in itself is a lesson. What has God asked you and me to devote to himself? This is what the stewardship survey is all about. Could be time. Could be money. Could be your gifting. God expects these things to be devoted to him. But often we keep them for ourselves. And that's a big mistake. So sin affects others. Sin will be revealed and sin will be punished. Firstly then, sin affects others, verse 1. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. That's very sobering. See, I think nobody knows about my sin. But the Lord's anger burns against sin. Well, verse 2. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy the region. This is interesting, because God hasn't commanded this. The fact is, Joshua is overconfident after the defeat of Jericho, and he thinks he can press on without God's authority. Another mistake. Follow God's word. Follow God's word, not our own wisdom. Verse 3, when they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it. And do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there. So about 3,000 men went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai. Something has gone wrong. God has removed his hand of blessing. We know what the answer is. God is angry with the sin that is in the camp. Sin affects others. Achan's private sin is affecting the whole nation. Verse 5, Ai soldiers killed about 36 Israelites. Perhaps not a great disaster, but they chased the Israelites from the city gates as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. What a disaster. Israel is at war. Morale is essential. My family is rather slow at keeping up with TV programs. So for the first time, we're watching Downton Abbey. I remember Pete Kelly telling me to watch it about 5 years ago. And I was a bit snooty about lowbrow entertainment. Well, now we're hooked. We've nearly finished series 2. And series 2 is set in the First World War. Keeping up morale is essential. There's a concert, for example, to entertain the injured officers who are convalescing at Downton Abbey. It was the same in World War II. Part of Winston Churchill's brilliance was that he inspired hope and confidence in a nation which, until America entered the war, was losing. Morale is crucial. But here, verse 5, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Imagine being Joshua at this moment. Well, we don't need to imagine. Verse 6, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The ark of the Lord symbolized the presence of the Lord. In fairness to Joshua, his instincts are good. In great distress, he turns to God. That's good. Where do we turn in distress? This is why I so love reading the Bible before bed. Whatever's distressed me during the day usually is smoothed over as I turn to God afresh to feed on his word and talk to him in prayer. Joshua's instincts are good. We can learn from him. But the reality is, he went ahead of God's direction in attacking Ai, and there is private sin in the camp which is affecting everybody. Happily, verse 6, all the elders of Israel join Joshua in seeking God. And Joshua says, verse 7, "Ah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we'd been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan." It's a bit pathetic, isn't it? They've seen God's faithfulness and power. One setback doesn't negate all that. But we can relate to him, can't we? I panic and lose heart. Verse 8. "O Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your great name?" Joshua's having a little panic. But at least he pours out his heart to God. That's good. God is the one we should talk to. Verse 10. "The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing on your face?" Now here's the issue, Joshua, verse 11. "Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen, they have lied, they have put them with their own possessions. Sin affects others. Achan thought it was his own little secret. But verse 12, "That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Root out the sin, Joshua. Go consecrate the people. Make them holy. Tell them," verse 13, "consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted is among you, O Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it." Sin affects others. And secondly, sin will be revealed. Verse 14, "In the morning, present yourselves, tribe by tribe. The tribe that the Lord takes shall come forward, clan by clan. The clan the Lord takes shall come forward, family by family. And the family that the Lord takes shall come forward, man by man." Can you imagine going through that? "He who is caught with the devoted things," verse 15, "shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done a disgraceful thing in Israel." Well, the next morning, the tribes come forward. Judah is taken. The clans of Judah come forward. The Zerahites are taken. The families of the Zerahites come forward. The family of Zimri is taken. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zimri, son of Zerah, is exposed. His sin is brought into the light. And Joshua says, well, now you must confess freely what you've done, Achan. And Achan does, in fairness to him. He's quite honest, isn't he? I saw a beautiful robe. I saw the 200 shekels of silver. I saw the wedge of gold. They're hidden in the ground under my tent. Sin will be revealed. Joshua sends messengers, verse 22. They run to the tent. There it is. The devoted things are finally brought to the Lord. These things were not Achan's. They were God's. They were to be devoted to him. Sin affects others. Sin will be revealed. And thirdly, sin will be punished. This is what happens to Achan and all his family. Perhaps his children were complicit, but all his family is punished. All Israel stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. And over Achan, verse 26, they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. In chapter 4, we get stones which commemorate God's faithfulness. Here we have stones which commemorate his anger. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. Achor means trouble. And we too have a memorial which shows how God's anger has been turned away from us. It's called the cross, where Jesus died. Sin affects others. Sin will be revealed. Sin will be punished. Allow me to apply this for a few moments. Sin affects others. The New Testament describes the church as a body. This comes out very clearly in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. The body, church, the body is a unit, a unity, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they are one body. If I injure one part of my body, the whole body suffers. If I have an infection in one part of my body, the whole of me is affected by that. In the same way, you are a part of the body. And if we allow the infection of sin to go untreated, we will all suffer to a greater or lesser extent. So, your anger, my anger, whatever, your private sins, pornography, whatever it is, our private sins, we all have private sins. We are all like Achan. Our private sin affects the whole church. Why aren't more people becoming Christians? One answer is the sin of Christians incurs God's displeasure. And he removes his hand of blessing from us. Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. My sin grieves the Holy Spirit. We mustn't do that. We must repent. We must come back to Christ. Sin affects others. Sin will be revealed. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body." Think how terrifying it was for Achan to stand before the judgment of God. That is what it will be like to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, unforgiven. Because thirdly, sin will be punished. Hebrews 10 verse 31 says, "It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. One writer has written very powerfully about those who jumped to their deaths from the World Trade Center on 9/11 as the heat of the fire pushed them to jump out of the window. And this writer says, that's a picture of the burning judgment of God. We will want to flee away from it. We must flee away from it. And so we must flee to Christ, mustn't we? The wonderful truth is that although God punishes sin, Jesus has taken that sin for us. Jesus has taken the punishment for us. On the cross, Jesus took hell so we could have heaven. He took the punishment for the things we've done wrong. And so no one needs to go to hell. Heaven is open to all who will turn to Christ. And so the only question is, will you turn to him today? And if this is true, that God punishes sin, and that Jesus is the only way to escape that punishment, will you share the gospel with your family and friends? Will you pray for them? Will you invite them to Christian events? But allow me to return to Achan. We're all Achans, aren't we? I'm an Achan. We've all got secret sins. God offers us grace. God offers us love, forgiveness. All he asks is that we turn to him afresh. Confess our sins to him today. Accept the forgiveness he offers through Jesus. And commit ourselves to living a life which pleases him. Committing ourselves to killing off those secret sins. Let's pray. Take a moment of silence. Maybe you want to name a secret sin before God now and repent of it and seek his forgiveness. Father God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you loved us so much you gave Jesus to die to be our Saviour. And Lord, we need him. We confess that we're all Achans. We all have thoughts and secrets. And we thank you that Jesus died for every one of them. So please help us to put our trust in Jesus, to receive his forgiveness, and then to live lives which please him. Father, this week, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And when we're tempted with those secret sins, cause us to reject them. Cause us to follow Jesus, to love him and to please him. And Lord, because this is such good news, the only way to be saved from hell, make us passionate in sharing Jesus with others for the honor and glory of his name. Amen.